John chapter 13, verse number 34. Jesus was the great everything. Great physician. He's our great God. He's a great creator. But he was a great lover. He was a great communicator. And he said in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now, God's people knew that they were supposed to love each other, even in the Old Testament, but Jesus explains it's a type of love, okay? There's all different types of love. There's conditional love. There's unconditional love. There's phileo love. There's agape love. But this is the love. He puts it in real clear terms. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And by the way, he's talking to the disciples, and he's referring to God's people, as I have loved you. That's the type of love. So Jesus says, I'm supposed to love George Pineda, at least attempt it and try with God's help the way Jesus loves me. And that's raising the bar. As I have loved you, that ye love one another, he goes into it again, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Father, help us this morning as we just, we know that the Bible says God is love. And one of your great attributes is love. And Lord, you have challenged us to put the bar up so high to say that we are supposed to love each other the way you love us. Help us. That's a supernatural love. We cannot do that by ourselves. And help us as we just open your word to look at how you love us and how we should love each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to look at a couple of verses. Look at John chapter 15. Just go over a couple of verses here. John chapter 15 and verse number 12. John 15 and verse number 12. John chapter 15, verse number 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. I don't know about you, I want to be a friend of Jesus. You know what he's saying? If you love the brethren and the sisters, you're doing what I commanded. You know what that does? That he said, you're my friend if you love one another. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Look over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Pray for Brother Shumpert. Went to the emergency yesterday, Brother Pinay. Was that yesterday? And we didn't get any new information. I think it was an infection in a surgery he had. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 12. And the Lord make you to increase. Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. I want you to look at just a couple more verses. 1 Peter. Turn over to 1 Peter. And so Paul was saying to the church, the Thessalonian church, we encourage you to love one another. And he went on to say, love as we have toward you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You can throw the sisters in there too. Seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. By the way, I'm going to close the message with, what is loving each other with a pure heart? I say this is it. When you forgive people. Grudges are the manifestation that we don't understand love. Bitterness is the manifestation that we don't understand love. Look one more portion of Scripture, Galatians chapter 6. So how to love purely? The way Jesus loved. Jesus died for the ungodly. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Let's go, skip down to verse 10. Please. Galatians 6, verse 10. Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men. What's the next word, class? Say it again, please. What's especially mean? It's like there's a special group. Okay? Especially. Okay, now look. Brother A, we got our Filipino group. They're all going on an activity. Take care of all of them. But we have a man who's 90 years old. He's sick and he's in a wheelchair. Can you especially take care of him? Okay. Especially. God says we're supposed to love everybody, but he puts a certain group in a category. He says, especially. Well, who are they? As we have, therefore, opportunity lists, do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You said, who's that? Christians. Now, we're supposed to love our neighbors, we love ourselves, but guess what? He says, especially, I'm supposed to love James. Especially, I'm supposed to love Chanty. Especially, I'm supposed to love Charlie. Especially. We're communicating in our church. Preached and taught on the how our technology and the age of communication, though it's wonderful to use it in a godly way, man, pretty soon, and I don't really like it, pretty soon no one's going to bring a Bible to church. Everybody's going to have, what's that called? What do you use? What is it? iPad. You know, we're going to say, turn your iPad, turn your Bible. Okay, I don't like it, and I realize if the Bible's in your iPad, it's the Bible, but it just goes against my grain. I'm not saying it's sinful, because few of you have your iPad, and Brother Pineda's got his, this is not a Bible, that's actually an arithmetic book. This is his Bible right there. But there's so much clutter because of technology, and I've talked about that. There's so much clutter, there's so many things that are grabbing our attention. And I've said this, years gone by, we had 3 books that we walked around with. We brought to church. We used at home. I'm not saying there weren't other books, but the 3 main books, number one was the Bible, the King James Bible. Number two was the hymnal. And number three was the Pilgrim's Progress. And that's what God's people, they used to carry around with them, those 3 books. Well, now there's so many books and there's so much information online that people are getting false doctrine and they're getting all types of teaching. And then on top of that, there's things that are grabbing our attention. And I turned the radio on last night, and the folks are staying at my house. My daughters are staying at my son's house, and Tim and Daniel are staying at our house somewhere. I think they're out in the dog house in the back or something. But my wife and I and the two little ones were staying in a hotel down the street. And so I was driving. I put the radio on, and it's a radio program called Bikini Something. You said, did you change it fast? No, I did what you did. I want to hear what they're saying. Hey, don't act like that. Come on. You're supposed to laugh when I want you to laugh. And so I'm like, what's this? And you know what it is? It's teaching you how it's a nutritional it's a program, but it's teaching the ladies how to, you know, have a good figure so you can put your bikini back on. Now, I know you're saying, what's that have to do with, you know, whatever. If I'm a lady, I'm not. Okay. I'm sitting there going, yeah, you know, I remember when I used to have my bikini and my figure. Hey, we're supposed to that's not why we're supposed to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit because it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Not so that we can put our bikinis on. Right? Okay. Let me get on and go on. It's cluttered. We listen to that, and we're like, oh, I'm going to start listening to this. And then they're talking about, oh, you know, I got my waist and figure and all this. And here we go, okay? It's clutter, okay? And there's good clutter. There's good clutter. There used to be a day where you'd have to wait until tomorrow or you turn on the radio to get the scores of the game. Now you don't have to do that. During church, you know all the scores of the game because the guys in the patio are texting you in here, and you're going like this. You're opening your Bible, but really you got your phone there to get the score of the game. Okay? You say, what is it? By the way, I like the scores of the game. And I don't, to this day, and I'm sure I can figure it out, I don't know how to get online. My kids get me online or my wife gets me online. I just do that. There's a specific reason I do that. It's not because I'm dumb. I'm dumb, but that's not why I could, even as being dumb, I could do that. But I have, right there, it's NFL. It's NCAA Division I, I think it's called. And then I have NBA. And I think that's pretty much, let's see, what else? ML, what's that? No, I don't have soccer. Okay, no soccer. Soccer, no soccer. Anyway, not hockey either. If I want to watch fighting, I'll watch a boxing match. But there's clutter. And so one thing we're doing this year in the year 2013, what we're doing is we're trying to make loving the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind and with all of our strength in our church. Every church has a unique calling, a unique direction. We're trying to make it very simple. And there's four steps, and we're going to communicate those four steps. And I'm not saying you can put God in a box of four steps. We're just trying to make it simple to help. If we have a brand new Christian that shows up, we want to explain to them, listen, in the context of Pacific Baptist, here's how we can help you to love God, step one, love others, step two, serve God, step three, and serve others, step four. And we want to challenge everybody to get to step four. You say, why? Because that's what Jesus wants, okay? And loving, and so, Brother Jeremy, can you put that on? Where'd he go? Oh, there he is, okay. Put that on, just real fast. Maybe you can see, go ahead, can you turn the lights off real fast? We're going to see this over and over. Go ahead, next, steps of spiritual growth. Loving God. By the way, I mentioned last week, the whole sermon was you can't love God if you're not saved. And there are tares in the church, and then there are people that are deceived in the church, and there's some people that got false professions. And my two children, I mentioned Timothy and Sarah, wonderful kids, never really causes problems. But my daughter, I think she said she was 14 or 15 when she got saved. Tim was 11 or 12, but they made a profession as a child. But really, you can't love God unless you're truly born again. Spiritual growth, we mentioned last Sunday night, spiritual growth is simply, in a nutshell, it's allowing God and His Word to change your appetites. And then what do? Then you go after it. Our folks here, the folks that have come work with us, most all of them, I think all of them, are very careful with their what they eat. And that's good. We're taking care of the temple of God. Amen. Last night we went out to eat at the soup and salad soup plantation. Okay. Look, you got to develop when if you're going to eat right, you have to change your appetite. If you're eating quarter pounders with cheese for lunch, and you're eating triple triples for dinner, with a shake and a Wendy's triple with a, what's it called, Frosty, for a snack. And then next week we say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start eating right. We're going to have alfalfa sprouts for breakfast and spinach for lunch. And we're going to have, you know, lentil soup for dinner. You're going to have to change your appetite before you start doing that. You say, how do you change your appetite? You start reading and you start studying. If you eat this, it's going to help your body. If you don't eat it, you're going to die young. That'll help me. And then it tells you what's going on and why, what this is. And then it helps you to understand. You're going to have more energy. You're going to have more clarity in your mind and what it's doing to your body. And next thing you know, you're developing an appetite. And then you'll start nibbling on some of that food, and you come to find out it's not as bad as you think. But we talked about that last Sunday night. Next, loving others. And we, in our context, we love others, but the best way at Pacific Baptist, not the only way, the best way is being a Sunday school class, because it's a smaller group, we get to know you by name, and we could there's more personal touch. Next, serving God through discipleship and stewardship. We'll talk about that more later. Next, serving others, ministry involvement, soul winning. We'll talk about that tonight. Okay, guys, you can turn the lights off, on, and turn this off, okay? Thank you. Sure. Because I love you, all right? Now, let me say, number one, Christians' love for each other is the badge that God uses to show a lost world that we're his disciples. So someone comes in that door, and they're not a Christian. You say, well, how do we show them that we're a Christian? God doesn't necessarily say we're supposed to love them, but that's not how they know we're authentic. You know the word authentic? You ever go to Taco Bell? How many, let's vote on this. How many would say Taco Bell has authentic tacos? No. When you're getting three tacos for 99 cents, those aren't authentic. You say, where do you get authentic tacos? You go to Grandma Lupe's where she doesn't speak English. You get those tacos, there's so much grease coming out of it, and there's hot peppers and all cilantro, and then you eat it, and you're like, whoo! And you know what? You come out, you say, authenticity over there. Do you know how people know that there's authentic Christians? By our love for each other. They see love for each other. They see us truly, authentically loving each other. A Christian's love for each other is the badge that God uses to show a lost world that we are. And by the way, you know what? People, when they're lost, they want to go to authentic church. Now, some single guy's looking for a girl that's clean and just, he doesn't care. But if you're looking for an authentic, you're looking for God, you want to find an authentic church, God says the badge to show people that we're true disciples is our love for each other. John 13, 34 to 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's a type of love. That ye also love one another. By this, what? You loving each other as I loved you. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that you have love one to another. People are looking for God. They want something real. Number two, the fact that God emphasizes love so much shows all of us our need for love. Now, there's a lot more verses than I read in the Bible about love that we read today. 1 Corinthians 13 says the greatest is love. 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, love. I've shared this little illustration before. During the former Soviet Union, there in Romania, there was there were orphanages where they had babies, okay, babies, little newborns, and little 3-month-old babies, and many of these babies were dying. They were just dying, no disease, no sickness, and they couldn't figure it out. They could not figure out why these little babies were dying. They finally came to a conclusion. And by the way, these babies were, you know, it was, you know, many babies, very few caretakers, nursery workers. And so basically about all they had was a bottle and a change of diaper. Not a lot of holding and loving, okay? Their conclusion was this. These babies are dying not from a lack of nutrition. They're not dying from disease. These babies are literally dying because of a lack of love. Folks, we all need to be loved. Everybody needs to be loved. A little baby that doesn't even know the definition of love, if you said love to them, they couldn't say it, they can't spell it, but you say, why does Jesus emphasize love so much? We need love. Husbands, do you know why God tells us to love our wives as Christ loved the church? You say, why? Your wife needs love. And she doesn't need somebody else loving her, some other man loving her. She needs you to love her. She needs love. Love is sort of a little analogy we can use is like years ago, I didn't know what hospice care was. Hospice, I've heard it. And then as a pastor, you know, you have very sick people in your church and people that have cancer and so forth. And there's a day when the doctor will say, you know what, there's nothing more that we can do. And so we think you should get your loved one hospice care. And hospice care, in a nutshell, is basically helping your loved one, helping your wife, your grandmother, to just be able to be, and they use this, to be comfortable until she goes, for us, until she goes home to be with the Lord. And they often use morphine, okay? And they use morphine. You say, what is it? It takes away the pain. I'll never forget when my mom was dying of cancer, and the first time they gave her morphine, and she was just like out of it, and they gave her morphine, and she's like, whoosh, wow. You know, she was like, wow, I can live on this. I'm like, whoa, you know. Do you know what love is? Love is a little bit like hospice care. Often there's problems in our lives that'll never go away. Folks, the older you get, the more you realize life is difficult. As a Christian, life is difficult. As a non-Christian, life is difficult. As a Christian that's in rebellion to God, life is difficult. As a Christian that's in fellowship with God, life is difficult. However, there's a healing balm that helps our problems during the pain, or sometimes pain that will never go away. You say, what is it? It's the love that we give each other. And it just helps us to get to the next day. There may be no way for us. I mean, you say, well, God can do anything, but God has given every person a will. And if there's a person out there that's causing the problem, and that person just will not change. God is a gentleman. He doesn't make anybody do anything. So if somebody's hurting us, there's a child that's in rebellion, there's a spouse that's hurting us, there's some former friend that's hurting us, and there's nothing you can do about it. You say, what's the point, Pastor? We can love each other so that we can bear and endure, and it's not so painful. True love, by the way, I think of Donna Donna Rolandja. She's just a wonderful Christian. She's helped us so much in many ways. But Donna is the epitome of love for those college girls in that dormitory. The girls tell me how that when it's one of the girls' birthday, Donna takes them all out. I think she pays for all of it. I didn't even know it. You say, is that in the college budget? It's not. But you know what? By the way, a college girl, some of the girls, they're away from home. Leah's parents are in Thailand. Some of the girls, their families are in faraway cities. But one thing that helps those girls to just keep going and keep staying with the Lord and keep going to Bible college and keep going to their classes when they miss their family, you say, what is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's Donna Rolanza's love. Number four, true love can only be manifested as we walk in the Spirit. You don't make up love. You don't learn love from a love novel. You don't learn love from a TV love. Folks, those are actors and actresses. You know what that means? That means they are acting. That's not real. You say, how do you get real love? You can only get it from God. And really, that's one of the problems with the world is they're in not only the world, but even in many cases, people in the church. True love is supernatural. True love is supernatural. We don't have time to turn there, but Galatians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, okay, the works, you go into the works of the flesh, okay, and then the fruit of the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit is love. Love. You say, well, how do you love people? You walk with God. You spend time in His Word. You bow your head and say, God, I cannot love my wife. I cannot love my children. I cannot love the brethren. I cannot love the sisters. I cannot love the way you want me to love. This is impossible without me or without you. I can do nothing. I need your love to work through me. That's how you have true love. That's why girls, single girls, marry a man that walks with God. Well, he's cute and he's real big biceps and he could, big deal. Well, he's real cute. I don't even want to talk about cutes. If you want something cute, I always say this, get yourself a puppy dog. And then go out and find some godly man. You say, why? He can't truly love you if he's not walking with God. True love can only come from God. This is an unusual love. God's unconditional love is a supernatural love and only can come as we walk in the Spirit. God gives us the story of Hosea and Gomer and how that Hosea's wife, and this was a picture of God's love, Hosea's wife became a harlot. And she literally became a streetwalker, and she basically prostituted herself out. And he was a preacher; he was like a prophet, and he was ashamed, and his kids were ashamed that mom was out there, my wife was out there. And one day sin always brings you farther than you ever want to go. And she got so low that she was at like an auction, like a slave auction. So that's where sin brings you. And there she was, and Hosea shows up and sees her being sold, and he bought her. You could only have that love if it comes from God. And God says, that's the type of love I want you to have for each other and for your wife. But we're talking especially those of the household of faith. The greatest love is often manifested in forgiveness. Turn over to Luke chapter 7 and we're done. The greatest love is often manifested in forgiveness. Bitter people can't love. And then if you want to really have a high level of love, you learn how to forgive. Luke chapter number 7 and verse 36. Are you awake on the patio? like the wave. I think the first ameners woke up the other folks. That's okay. Hey, I'm looking forward to that new building where we don't have to use the patio. I like to see everybody's faces. I can see the faces out that window. I can see the faces out that window, but I can't see the faces out that window. Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. Great story. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, to eat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. And most likely, she, if God identifies her like that as a sinner, she had some pretty sin problems. Immoral. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping. She'd been forgiven of her sins and began to wash his feet. So you got the Pharisee, the real religious guy, and then you got the girl that had a bad name in the community, and Jesus forgave her. And she was weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches her, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor. He goes into a parable. That last story was... it's a real story. This is a parable. There's a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? So it said one had a debt of 500 pence. One had 50. One had 10 times the debt. And the guy that they owed the debt to forgave them both. And then he says, which one, tell me therefore, which of them will love him, the person that forgave more? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. He says, it's the guy that was forgiven 500 pence that loved the most. And Simon answered and said, I suppose he whom forgave the most. And he said, him, thou was rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed me with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, to the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiven sins? Look up here just a moment and we're done. Of course, we understand that that this principle doesn't necessarily have to be this, but here's, let's say Chanty was a heroin addict, and you know, he was prisoned for 20 years, and he was a thief and a robber, and he committed all kinds of sin, and he was in rebellion to God, and he was an atheist. And then one day he gets saved and he understands the grace of God, and he gets a good old dose of real salvation. Charlie, he grew up in a Christian home. His mom was saved and his dad was saved, and he was in the nursery and grew up and went to Christian school and got saved and wonderful. And by the way, we're all for that. Typically, it doesn't have to be this way. Typically, though, this guy has scars and he has wrinkles and he brings baggage into his Christianity, but typically, this guy's more excited about Jesus. Typically. Why? You say, why? Much is forgiven. And he thinks about, by the way, we understand whether you're you know, all these different things. Now, let's sort of turn this. Do you know the most loving family and the most loving ministry and the most loving church. Please get this. It's not where people don't hurt each other. Look, please get this. Those of you who've been here for 3 months and you think this is like Mecca or this is heaven, it's not. Let me just go ahead and make that announcement. Oh, wow, this is just so... It's not. You say, why? Because we're a bunch of sinners. And the pastor is a sinner. And Brother Myers is a sinner. Wow. Poor guy. Did you do something wrong this week that I don't know about? Brother Pineda is a sinner. Brother Ray, we're a bunch of sinners. You know what happens with sinners? We sometimes say something that we shouldn't say. And there's friendly fire. See, what's friendly fire? We accidentally shoot one of our brothers. We don't do it on purpose. Okay, that's evil. There's friendly fire. Someone's going to do you wrong. Okay? Maybe the baby's in the nursery. And it's like, oh, they didn't change the baby's diaper. Don't, please, let me just say this. They're not in there saying, don't change that baby's diaper. We want the mother to come here and be mad. We just anticipate with a vision a rash for that little baby. They probably had so many babies and one was crying, they just sort of forgot. Okay, now I'd say nursery workers, don't forget. So you're in a church filled with sinners. Okay, and by the way, each one of us, we have, some of us, we sin more with the tongue. Who can tame the tongue? Okay, some of us, we just, that's where we sin a lot. And the Bible says there's death and life in the power of the tongue. And someone says something and it gets around. We're with each other. By the way, this church, we're with each other Sunday morning, and some of us are here Sunday night in Sunday school, and some of us have had kids in the school. By the way, if your children are in the school, there's more of a possibility for someone to offend you. You say, why? Because little Peabody never does anything, and one of the teachers said he did. And then we have a line drawn. We have to enforce it. No one's trying to hurt it, but here's the point. We will have so much love, according to God's word, if we forgive each other. You say, why? I've done something wrong to Brother Pineda. And I say, brother, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? We hug, or we shake hands, we go on, and I walk away, I say, I love him more because he forgave me. And there's love there. Listen, love is, well, we never fight. No, no, no. There's no never fight. The only never fight is because we don't know each other. Come on, quit giving me that look. There's always an argument. There's always a disagreement. There's always a little friction. There's always a little strife. You say, where's the love? The love is when I do say something wrong and I do hurt him and he forgives me and I walk away and I said, I love that man more. You say, why? Because he forgave me. Never forget, about 30 years ago, I it was a little friendly fire and I disappointed my pastor. And I went to him. And I said, would you forgive me? And he said this. I'll never forget this. He said, Joe, I have a quick forgiver. He says, of course I'll forgive you. I walked away from that man. I said, I love him more. Say, Pastor, what's the point? You know how we can be a real loving church? Not, but I'm all for the hugs. I like the greeting time. I like the hugs and the handshakes. But you know where real love comes in? It's when someone does do you wrong. Put your hand on their shoulder and say, I forgive you. And you know what happens? As Paul said, I want you guys to love the way I love. I want to be an example. And you know what happens? It begins to spread. But you know where love isn't? Bitter. Gossip. Backbiting. You say, what is that a manifestation of? Not loving the way Jesus loves. I want to challenge you this morning. Let's love each other the way Jesus loves. It's a supernatural love. We can't conjure it up. We must walk in the Spirit. We must walk with God because it's a love. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, and that new commandment is to love each other, that especially love. It's the brethren. Love each other as I have loved you, and that's a supernatural, unconditional love. And when we have that love and somebody says something or somebody does something or accidentally or maybe it's a little intentional and we forgive each other, who much is forgiven, there's a bunch of love. Let's bow our heads and let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.